You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Will. What's going on?
Nothing much. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, it's really rainy in Texas today.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Really?
Oh,
really?
That's interesting. I live in Los Angeles. It rains once a year.
I know. We do love weather, right? I mean, that's part of the reason why we moved down here, because people always think of Texas and they think of the climate to be more like California. So it's just sort of dry. And it does have a drought here, but Austin is particularly green and vibrant. So it is raining. You may hear drip drops.
Oh, I love the drip drops.
From my echoey throne here.
Well, it's better that the room you're in now has some stuff behind you, at least. So that's good. It doesn't look like you're being, you know, held against your will, which is nice.
I had to barter with many different prisoners in the institute that I'm staying in right now, just so that I could get these
so that it looks good.
A little bit more welcoming and homey. Yes. And this is actually a straight jacket. Do you see that?
Nice.
I'm holding my hands up.
Excellent. Well, people don't know you moonlight as the amazing Christy Carlson Romano. So we know you're going to be able to get out of that straight jacket super easy. Nice. She's out, people.
I threw my hands up for those of you listening.
I'm very excited about our guest today.
Me too. I love her. And it's like she's been there like my whole life. I've seen her in so many different things, from like Friends to Joy Luck Club.
My first ever voiceover gig was with Lauren. Ever.
I
just said her
really?
Name. That's all right, because I'm so excited about it. I don't even mind blowing the surprise because I'm so excited that she's here. But yeah, we'll have to get into that. But she was also on Kim Possible.
That's right. She was several times. I think
she's done she did a whole bunch of Kim Possibles too. So, and was in the drama and so we've got some
reunion.
Yeah.
It's a reunion.
And the last reunion we had was with Taj.
Yes.
Who was unfriendly, not nice to talk about.
He's really just so high maintenance. The man is just, it's like talking to a rock.
He wasn't excited to be on the show. He wasn't excited to talk about his past.
No,
it was weird to see him again.
It's sarcasm. This is sarcasm, I promise.
Is it sarcasm or is it sarcasm? It's interesting.
Sarcasm. That's the way we say it at the Institute here.
Is it nice? Nice. We say sarcasm in the non-rainy Los Angeles world. How long has it been rainy for?
Days. It's been
really?
We have had and by the way, very cold. It's been like 45 degrees, dropping to
so
like 38.
Jealous.
Yeah, it's, but and then the weird thing is that here in Texas it's gonna be like 70 with 80% humidity in a couple days. You know, it's like, it's just the weirdest weather. But you know,
it's weather, but it's weather.
True.
It's not like,
true.
Oh hey, it's 79 and sunny again. And everyone's like, I would take that all day long. But when you get like 300 days in a row of that, it really gets boring.
It is very interesting. It's like why people think that people don't age in California. They're so
I have aged
endless summer
exponentially since I started this podcast with you, Christy. I have aged so much again.
Stop. No, this is the easiest. Listen, this podcast is, we've got a big heart for this podcast. We started this podcast because we would be doing Comic Cons together and we'd look over to each other and we'd say, gosh, we wish we could work together again. Gosh, we wish they'd reboot Kim Possible. And in the midst of waiting for all of this, we've created our own opportunity to be together and be here on this podcast. Don't you think?
I agree. I think it's very, very nice that you get to work with me again.
I know.
That's how I look at it. That's how I look
at it. I agree.
It's really nice for you to get that opportunity. And I think
I agree. I agree.
I love working with you. It's fun.
I'm going to give you enough rope to hang yourself, Will.
It's fun. There's no such thing as enough rope to hang myself, I'm saying. But no, we are very excited to have our guest on today.
Yes.
I want to talk to her about something very special because I'll talk to her about this, but she was my first ever animated girlfriend. Yeah. First ever animated girlfriend. So I want to see if she has the same memories of being my animated girlfriend as I do of being her animated boyfriend.
Wow. The tea is hot here. It is Lauren Tom and I hear voices.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Lauren.
Guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to see your face.
Well, we were just talking, Lauren, because I'm not sure you're aware of this because you've been a pro for so long, but you were my first ever animated girlfriend.
It was Dana Tan?
Yes. In Batman Beyond was my first ever animated girlfriend. So I was so excited to talk to you today.
Oh, I know. Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, yep. I have such fond memories and I posted a picture of us on Twitter when Kevin passed, and I realized that you're not on Twitter anymore, huh?
No, I'm not. I'm not. No, I
see. You're a smart way before everyone else.
I haven't had so funny. I haven't had social media for 3 years now, and I have been talking my friends on Pod Meets World, and I think I'm gonna start an Instagram account again for my first time. Time.
Well, you're gonna miss a lot.
It's a lot gentler Instagram, I feel
Yes. Right? It's a lot nicer.
Not so toxic.
It is. But wait, now, so that was my first ever animated series was Batman Beyond. And you, of course, were integral in helping me kind of learn that world. But where did you start in the animated world? What was your first kind of voiceover?
Oh my gosh. Kid? Will, that, you know, I felt like I was learning on Batman. That's so funny that you say that. I mean, it wasn't my very first. Well, that wasn't your first series, was it?
Yeah, that was my, I'd never done animation before at all.
That was his big break.
My first voiceover job ever was Batman Beyond.
Wait, for you, was it just like for me where you just went in like in a regular audition as if it were an on-camera thing?
They called and said, do you want to audition for the role of Batman? And I started laughing, thinking they had called the wrong person. And I'd never done an animated series before. And I went in and read with Andrea and with
Bruce Tim. Oh my goodness.
And everybody thinking this is ridiculous. And next thing I know, I'm sitting next to Kevin Conroy. So it was just ridiculous for me.
That is ridiculous. What? How fun.
You'd been doing this for a while by that point, though, hadn't you?
No, my first job was King of the Hill.
Wow.
And that wasn't really that much earlier. And I felt like I got to learn from Pamela Adlon and all the people in that show because they'd already been doing voiceover for a while. And I was really studying them and watching them. And I, like, one of my favorite things to do is just like give people tips, like what I've learned over the years. So it's really fun that we're going to be having a fan do this with us. But I just auditioned just like you said, where I went in as a regular audition and I did it, you know, they had a microphone there for me, but I was so nervous. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And so that was my first job. And that one ran for like 13 seasons. So that was super exciting.
Well, I mean, it's King of the Hill. It's like, you know, it's prime time and it's with some of the greatest voiceover actors ever. Did you approach the audition like an on-camera audition, or did you switch something up because you knew you were going to be doing VO?
You know, like, no, because I was clueless because I had never auditioned for an animated series before. I just feel like when people ask me, like, you know, what tips do you have? I feel like if you want to be a voice actor, you have to become a good actor. That's the main thing, right? Yeah. So just go to acting class, and it's really the same thing. And you know, like a piece of advice that I got that I think is really helpful is when you're auditioning or actually doing the job, and in Futurama, you can see this like gangbusters, you do it as if you're in front of the camera. So you do it full out with all of your body language as well, because you only have that little tiny hole to get it through all of your performance through this little voice. And so, you know, even when I'm in my closet and I still have to audition sometimes, I'm actually acting out the scene, right? So, when you watch like Billy West and John DiMaggio and everything, they're doing that too. They're like full out. And I feel like in my career on camera, sometimes I'm a little too big because my background is theater, right?
Right.
I mean, I've been used to like playing to the back of the house.
Yes, of course.
Right.
And so directors have had to say, okay, that's good. Let's go one more time, 95% less. You know? And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just really excited. Anyway, yeah, even in voiceover, I feel like sometimes I have to take it down, but you kind of like, if you're at an audition, try to find out the tone of the show first, so that you get to like King of the Hill was very natural.
Yeah.
Right? And they wanted it to be the humor was character driven. It wasn't so much jokey. But then like for other shows that I've done for Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon, you can afford to be a little bigger because the audience is younger, like kids next door. Like, I don't think I could have been any bigger than that because I love Tom Warburton. Cause he was like, can you go even more? Kidding me.
That's the best though. That's the joy of doing the young animated series. It's like you can't get cartoony enough. Kim Possible got a little bit like that with Ron, at least.
Yes.
So I want to get to Futurama eventually because it's arguably one of my favorite animated series of all time.
Mine too, by the way.
I absolutely love it. It is. I'm one of those people when I think of Matt Groening, that to me is his pinnacle show. I know The Simpsons is huge, but I've always loved Futurama. So we'll get to that.
Futurama.
You're sweet.
But so you said you started in theater. Did you, when you were younger, did you grow up liking animation? Were you a cartoon fan when you were a kid?
I just wanted to be a cartoon. Life was too much for me. And I just came in really sensitive. So I just wanted to be in that world where everything was okay. So it's still in like all these years of therapy. I'm still trying to inch my way towards, I can handle the disappointments of life, you know, like that, because that's the scariest part is just fielding all of these experiences that we have as human beings. And so, you know, that was my escape place that I could go when things were just too much, you know, because we all come in so differently. And like my mom, for example, she just came in as like a freaking badass.
I saw a picture on your Instagram and she is.
Christy, oh my God. I set it to this song called Revolver by Bulow because I love it so much. And because it's about being a badass and wanting to be like her. Yeah. But I didn't, I came in the complete opposite. And so I had to find ways to just kind of navigate my way through all of this. And animation, what I love about animation, I could go on because it's,
please do,
you know,
I like that.
I mean, years ago, it's like, you know, the blocks that came for me because I'm Asian were way more than they are now. Right. Mm-hmm. And we still have a ways to go, but in the voice world, like you could be anything literally. Mm-hmm. And I got to audition for anything too. So like the joy of watching, you know, Kevin Michael Richardson do a little white Jewish 5-year-old girl.
And do it well.
Exactly. Just does not get better than that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then you could wear your sweatpants, like, you don't have to get dressed up, right? And I had two kids and I literally was recording until my water broke. I mean, like, I was like Andrea Romano.
Were you with Andrea when that happened? Really? Were you with Andrea?
No, Andrea, actually, I'm just joking about that. But Andrea let me come in to record Batman while I was nursing. So this is kind of like too much information, but
no, we love it.
I was literally like, I had Ollie in my arms and he was like having lunch and I was like recording, and then we would have to break, you know, if he made a little cooing sound. But I mean, not only is Andrea Romano the best voiceover director, you know, of bar none,
yeah,
but she's also like an incredible human being.
She
like,
is
just to right.
Yeah,
just
we had her on not too long ago, and she's just a joy.
We got to watch her. She came out, and we brought an amateur guest on, and she came out of retirement and directed him. And just watching her direct him again, it was like, I tried not to cry. Like, it brought me right back to the booth. It was unbelievable. So
it's like that confidence that she instills in you. You kind of just get it, and you feel like you're smart for being able to get what she's saying. And it's so quick. It's sort of like, oh my God, I'm done. You know, that's the other thing I love about voiceover, right? I mean, literally, sometimes I would figure out how much I was paid per word because it would be like I would go in and say one sentence, and you know, if I just had a recurring part or whatever, and I don't know, it's just the best job ever.
That's funny,
you know, right? If you wanted to be
a
parent, I don't know if you guys are parents, but I mean,
it's
like, yay!
Like, I have two girls, and you have two boys, right?
I do. How old are yours? You look so young.
Oh man, thank you. I'm 38, but yeah, I have a 5 and a 3-year-old. So she's about to turn 6. Oh God.
Aww.
But I saw your boys they're grown and they're going to college.
I know.
What I find so interesting about this voice acting as a career, and now you've done so many different things as well. I wonder if you can speak to, for a lot of the people that are parents or, you know, are older, wanting to get into the voice acting world and have families and stuff, and how much of that is a time commitment for them to like pull away. But it is,
think,
a very a good community for people to like, if they're going to get in the business, like voice acting is, it's filled with a lot of good people, in my opinion.
Oh, I swear to God, I have never met one jerk in the voiceover world. I mean, and they're bountiful in the on camera world.
Yeah, and theater.
Yeah, I don't really know what it is about the voiceover community, but everybody.
It's also, if you do meet a jerk, you never see them again.
Right,
that's true.
Because it's one of those things where it's such, everybody likes everybody so much, and the competition aspect isn't there in the voiceover world. Your voice is going to work or it's not going to work. People are genuinely happy for each other when it's like, oh, you got that, you jerk. Oh, I wanted that. It's like all fun. It's all fun stuff. And then you get into the on-camera world and you're like, oh, you're genuinely not a good person. You don't you don't find that in VO. You just don't find that in VO. It's so strange.
I wonder if it's because it's energetic and like, so much of like what you were just talking about with Andrea and how she kind of is this conduit for our creativity in the room, so to speak. And like you said, you're pushing your voice through this little tiny hole, and then this other person you're entrusting with that. And so it's this energy exchange that needs to be very free flowing through a big glass, you know, window that they speak to you from.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's true. I think there's also an aspect in the VO world where I always say, you know, Christy and I, we talked about this, where one of my mottos is there's a very big difference between childish and childlike.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to be childlike to be in the VO world. And when you are childlike, chances are you embrace that goofiness. So you're inherently already a decent human being. Does that make sense? Like you're already
fun, like you want to play ball.
Playful. Exactly. That's enjoying yourself. So when you get those lighthearted people where a John DiMaggio walks into the room, a Tara Strong walks into the room, one of Gray Delisle, one of these people walks into the room lightens up, like, because everybody's having fun and they're enjoying themselves. And so I think that lends itself to just better people than kind of like, don't talk to that guy over there. He, you know, has studied deep acting for 5 years.
Don't look them in the eyes.
He's been on the streets to make
right,
sure.
Exactly.
It's like, yikes. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, that's really astute. I think you're dead on. You're dead on. So because we're like little kids just playing.
I would say it's really not monetarily, you know, you don't go into voice acting for the money. That there's something to that.
but the money is good. I mean, like, compared to how much work you're actually doing, it's not work, number one.
You're loving
and
it.
And it's fun. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to work to just listen to all of my friends. Like, I feel like the Futurama cast are, they seem like they're all stand-up comedians. And I see myself more as like an actor, so I'm not like that. But someone's got to be the audience, so I'm there, just kind of like laughing at everybody, and it's sort of like, it takes us probably a third longer than it should to record the whole thing, just because we're just goofing around.
Yeah.
And you know, Lee Supersinski, our producer, he's got the job of like herding all these crazy sheep. You know, like it's just.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
I always remembered I'd see this on Kim Possible and on other shows. I would call it JDT or John DiMaggio time. You knew you'd have to add, you know, 10% of the amount of time you were going to record.
It's because, absolutely true.
But it's so worth it because it's so worth it. Funny. And,
yeah.
I mean, for instance, Kim Possible, we're going to have Johnny on. We've had a Kim Possible reunion.
Yes, I love him.
And one of the things, you know, in those moments, and we've all seen this in the booth, in those moments where some of these actors are joking around and trying to one-up each other and going off on different characters, they come up with a character that then is used in the future.
Right, like Dave Herman. I mean,
crazy stuff. John DiMaggio, as we were joking around one day, just started doing this character, and it became Motor Ed from mm-hmm. Kim Possible. So you see this kind of stuff. I mean, so I have to jump into this because now we're talking John DiMaggio and we've now talked Futurama. I want to talk a bit about Futurama because I think it is arguably one of the greatest animated series of all time. I think
I agree.
Phenomenal.
I feel just as strongly. I do.
So you like it more than Simpsons?
I do.
Yes.
I do. Okay. Okay.
I think one of the things I love so much about Futurama is the episodes out of nowhere that all of a sudden you're crying, which doesn't mm-hmm. really happen in The Simpsons. And when you get Luck of the Fryrish or you get Fry's dog or you get one of these episodes,
yes.
it's like you've Fry's got dog. To be kidding me with
it's
some of this
so
writing.
It's so true. It's
but
so
as a,
true.
A voiceover actor and fan, it's also one of those things where you go, ugh, because there's never guest stars.
Yeah.
You guys do all the voices. So no, there's yeah. like never, ever any guest stars. It's amazing. So it's like, you know that it's going to be Johnny or Mo or
so
Billy.
True. I never
or
thought of that, Will.
They never, no one can ever go on and be like, guess what I did last week? I did a Futurama. Like that's never going to happen.
Well, unless you're Al Gore, because
exactly.
they really
right.
they try yeah. to get the real person.
Yeah. Or the
and
Chili
it usually
Peppers
works out.
Or somebody
yeah.
like that. Yeah. 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 Of yeah. course. But what was it like? So you know, Futurama is actually, it came in after The Simpsons, which is, you know, is the biggest smash hit animated series of all time. So what is it like knowing that you're going in and reading for kind of the next project that Matt Groening's doing? What was that process like?
I was scared to, I'm not going to lie. And I had the most magical meeting with Matt. And I always credit Michael McKean because he and I were dating at that time for a couple years, actually. And he is like one of the funniest, coolest people just naturally. And I swear to God, I feel like that I got some street cred just because I was his girlfriend. And Matt loves Michael and, you know, like his work. I don't know if they know each other's people, but he loved his work. And he mentioned that to me at the top of the meeting. And so that really relaxed me. And then I have kind of a nutty laugh. I've always had like a really loud, crazy laugh. And Matt just really loved it and said, aww. You know what? He said it right in the room. He said, I don't know what we're going to do with you, but with that laugh, we have to have you in the show somehow.
Oh, that's great. So did they write Amy for you then?
So what happened is kind of in a way, because they had Leela and Amy's natural qualities switched in the original creation of it. They had Amy really tough, and she was a mechanic, and she was wearing this jumpsuit and kind of like very, you know, like my mom would be, you know, and then Leela was the girly one. But then when I came in and he said that, he was like, I don't know. I just like you.
Oh, wow. This is blowing my mind. As
I know. I can imagine switching them is so weird to me.
It's better. It's better.
I know. And they kind of redrew it and they made me the girly one. And then they make me kind of slutty, which is fine. But I mean, you're not totally dead on. But but it was fun. It was fun to make her. She was super klutzy too in the beginning. We kind of toned that down a little bit. But yeah. So that was like, oh my gosh, it was so uplifting to think that you can do that. And then like later on, like I said this to Matt, I don't know, 6 months ago, because you know, he uses all of us on Disenchantment. Mm-hmm. And I said to him,
show.
Yeah, I said, you know, Matt, I'm so grateful to you that you just are so loyal. Like, you know, you keep using all of us for your projects now. And he said, well, think of it like this, you know, back in the day, like Hanna-Barbera had a stable of people that they used all the time. And that was the troupe. That was the company. That was, you know, like, and so it's kind of like that. You're my stable of people.
Oh, you're
amazing.
Like, oh God, thank you.
he is such an incredible person and so, such a genius and so humble. And
he's one of our dream. He's one of our dream guests for I Hear Voices. One of the questions I had, I'm so curious about when it comes to Futurama, do you record together?
Yes. During the pandemic, I mean, At the beginning, when we've got picked up again, the pandemic was still more present. And so like Phil Lamar has this state-of-the-art recording studio in his house.
Yeah.
And so there's a certain amount of booths available. And so in order to accommodate all of us, Phil always records at home. And then he only lives 20 minutes from the studio. So he'll drive in for lunch, which is awesome because we, you know, we like to be all together.
Sure.
We're just like this family. And I feel like I'm completely myself when I'm there. You know how you always go through the world, you know, with a certain like mask that you wear in order to just kind of, you know, get along. Yeah. But there, I just feel like I've known them for so long and I just feel so loved and accepted by all of them that I feel like there's nothing I could do or say that would, you know.
I have a question, Lauren. So your character, and this is because I'm a fan of the show, so sorry, I'm a fangirl. But you said that your character evolved. And I do feel like I've heard this and seen this in a lot of different, you know, versions of our guests. This is something that does tend to happen. I mean, can you speak to that experience? Do you feel like after they kind of optimize this character for you and your mindset and your approach to her, how did she evolve over time? Was that more towards catering towards the health of the show and the ratings, or was that more towards giving you more opportunities to perform?
Well, do you feel like she's evolved? That's good. Because I
do. Yeah.
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay, so here's a little thing. I recently said, actually last week, to David X. Cohen that someone put together like a little, I don't know, voiceover reel for me, and I saw it on Twitter, and it was from the early days of Futurama, and then kids and lots of things, and I realized that my voice was so much higher in the first season than it is now. So in that way, I think my voice has evolved. And I said to David, is that okay? Like I had no idea. And he said, you know what? Everyone has done that. It's almost like it's a natural thing that occurs, that a character kind of like settles in and becomes a little bit closer to who you are. And we know, and everyone has done that. And it's okay because even in certain instances, like the characters are like trying to be discovered. They're not completely set yet in the early days. And then they become stronger and stronger once they, like get settled in and it feels right and you get into a groove. So he said, don't worry about it at all. That was shocking to me.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Did you?
It's funny because with Kim, so with Kim, like you got higher and higher.
Yeah, I went the opposite way. No, he did.
Oh, Will.
Yeah, I got lower and lower, but that was because
Ron
Stoppable cigarettes
started,
smoke
and ended way up higher. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Was that on purpose, Will?
No, it just kind of, again, it was kind of the evolution of the character where oh, come on, Kim, we're just in high school. And by the end, he was like all the way up here, like, what's going on, Kim?
So oh, my crazy. God. Yeah.
It got a lot different.
Wow, so interesting. You know, in King of the Hill, Greg Daniels had a different take on that whole thing because he listened to us in like season 10 and compared us to season 1 and wanted us to get back to season 1.
Really? Okay. And so did you have to did he say like, hey, we're going back to where we started and I want to pitch the voices back to where they were. And did you all have to go and kind of watch the show again to pick the voice up again?
No, he had it all queued up. For us.
Really?
You know how you always go, can I have a voice reference? It's like that. You know, and
he was always here. Like the you know, Hank was always kind of here, like Bobby. Like,
wow, that's really good, Will.
And then, but did everybody else get cartoony? Is that what was happening in the 10 seasons?
I think what happened is, again, it sort of like becomes more organic to who you are more. Mm-hmm. And so for instance, whenever I have to do an accent, I always channel my grandmother, right? This character of Min was not exactly my grandmother. Right. My grandmother was more like my mother. So her voice was here. Like, you're too fat. I'm not giving you ice cream, you get Jell-O. You know, it was like more grounded like that. And Min, they wanted her to be like more passive aggressive so that she would say things really sweet, like, oh, your boat, their shoes so big, you're like in a boat. You know, like she was, they wanted her to be sweet sounding.
Right.
And
but
so
passive aggressive.
But passive aggressive and saying the meanest things. Right. So I had to, I started to forget that. And I started to naturally just be more like my grandma because her voice and her personality were so hilarious to me. And also were in my body. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, sure.
Like that voice and everything. And so it got lower and lower. My voice, and I became a little bit tougher. So they had to remind me. So it's interesting.
How often do you tap into people from your life to do the voices that you do? I mean, are you usually, is it based on somebody you know? Or, I mean, you said you've talked about your mom, your grandmother. I mean, is it kind of like, oh yeah, I'm pulling from life to find these characters? Or is it just something you come up with on the fly?
I think in my regular on-screen acting too, I don't know if this is true for you, but I do tend to think of certain people that have the same qualities. And I kind of like try to get into their body in a way, how they present themselves to the world. But for sure, my mom and my grandmother, I use a lot because I don't present myself to the world in that super tough way, right? I'm just not comfortable with it. And so whenever I have to do a tough character, you're seeing my mom or my grandmother. So my mom doesn't really have an accent, although because she was born in Chicago. So yeah. And but my grandmother came from Huiping. And so if she has an accent, it's like my grandma. And if she doesn't, then and she's tough, it's my mom.
That's really cool. All right. Last question I really want to know. And then we're going to bring in our wonderful guest to play Across the Garden with us. Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
We are playing Across the Garden again with Lauren. It's going to be a ton of fun. And also, this is a good time to tell you all once again, we are very, very close to opening up the contest. Yes. What's the name of the contest again, Christy? I can't remember what it's called.
Super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor.
Oh,
oh my God.
She nailed it.
Did I do it? Finally. Lauren, it's all because of you. Thank you.
Oh, yay.
Yes, that is
right.
Thank
you. She gave me some confidence.
Super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor where everybody is going to get to audition for us. We're going to bring you on the show. And the winner, American Idol style, gets a year-long contract with a voiceover agent, gets to do some work for iHeart, gets a whole bunch of really fun stuff.
I know.
It is the seriously.
Whose idea was this?
Coolest thing in the world. It was our idea. It was the wonderful idea it's an idea that we've had for a while that we wanted to do, which iHeart has made possible.
Oh my goodness.
So we are going to be able to help somebody kick open the door to their voiceover career. We are so excited.
So you guys are the best. Talk about giving back to the community. Honestly,
it's gonna be cool.
This is good karma for you guys.
I hope so.
You're going to get to ride on this for a while. You can be like total jerks now for the next 10
exactly.
years.
Exactly. Well, we can't be. We're voiceover actors.
Yeah, that's exactly.
True. So final question, and then we're going to bring in our guest. All of the awesome slang from the future, the smeesh and stuff like that, do you get to play with any of that, or is all that on the page?
That's all on the page. To be honest, we have the most brilliant writers. Like, not only did most of them go to Harvard, but they're just so freak. The writing is so good. So as much as we goof around in the session, we never really change the writing, the words. Like, you
so
know,
no
they
ad-libbing
might,
really at all.
Not really, not in That's Futurama. Great. Like, That's you know, great. I'm sure that you've been on other shows where they actually love that.
Sure.
But I think we just have too much like respect for the page. So all of that is coming from the writers, the shmeesh and all that. Yeah.
That when to understand, to have, I don't think most people could possibly understand having people like you, John DiMaggio, Maurice LaMarche, Billy West, Phil LaMarche, and the writing being so good. That there's no ad-libbing? That's insane.
Well, I shouldn't say no ad-libbing, but very, very little.
That's insane. That's just a testament to how incredible the writing of that show is, because those are some of the greatest You're all the great, one of the, some of the greatest voiceover actors that have ever worked. So to have that on the page already is pretty outstanding.
And we got her for Kim. What was your experience like with Kim? Do you remember?
Kim Possible.
Wait, what?
Do you remember what it was like to be on Kim Possible?
I don't. I'm so sorry. I should have done my homework before I jumped on. I don't even know what I played.
Funny. Maybe it'll come back.
You were in the first episode of Kim Possible ever.
No,
yes, you were.
What
season
did I
one, play? Episode one, Crush. You played Yoshiko.
Did I have a good time?
I'm going to say yes, you did.
An amazing character. She's online. You got to Google it.
And then you were in our movie, the 2005 movie. So
I was
drama.
Not.
You were
same character.
Same character.
Yoshiko,
oh,
yes.
And then we got you were Dana. Yeah, and then you were my first girlfriend ever.
That was really fun doing those scenes with you, Will. That was really fun.
And then we got to play with everybody in New York too, which was a ton of fun. We were there a couple years ago.
Yeah, two or three years ago. What a gift!
I know.
You have that picture, right?
Of all of us in New York, yeah.
Yeah, we did a Comic-Con.
Yeah, what was it? Batman Beyond, the 20th anniversary.
It was
25th.
It was New York Comic-Con. It was so much fun.
We were with everybody, and it was
Andrea,
cherish those moments. Yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah. God rest him.
It was really special.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life." Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, so we're going to bring in our guest now.
Do we get to see him?
We do, of course we did. We get
okay,
to
great,
see
great.
Him. We have a great guest coming in today. Where's Andres? There he is.
Hi!
Yes!
Ooh, hey!
On. Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for coming
that's
on
a
the
good
show.
Voice.
Oh, thank you. No, yeah, I'm excited. I've been listening to the podcast for a long time, and I'm a huge fan of the voice acting world in general. I actually work at Dragon Con here in Atlanta as a panel moderator. So I've actually, Mr. Friedel, I've had extensive coaching on how to pronounce your last name as a result of you being in one of my panels. So Christy, you were in a different track that year that you guys were both there.
I didn't get
to interview you. And Lauren, I remember you were at Dragon for, I think, 2013 for like a Futurama reunion.
How do you know that?
Well, I only do the one con, right? Like I do Dragon Con and Momo Con. You guys go all around. So for me, it's significant.
That's great. That's great that you remember that.
And now I'm saying it right. It's Andres, right?
Yeah, it's Spanish. Andres, if you don't speak Spanish.
Andres.
We want to make sure. Is fine.
Hey, we are in a world where we like things to be pronounced properly in our voiceover world.
That's correct.
So not only are you a moderator for Dragon Con, but you're also an improv actor. And you've got some, I've got to hear, I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I want to hear first Don LaFontaine.
Oh, okay. This summer, one man with one desire, to fight everyone in the streets of L.A.
Like,
that's really good.
That's awesome.
Really, really good.
And now, because we've all worked with him and he was on Kim Possible, can we hear a little Patrick Warburton?
Oh, okay. He's actually the voice I do for my dog, Crypto the Super Dog. My favorite thing about him is he's super lovely. He's like Kronk from Emperor's New Groove.
That's awesome.
And man, I'm excited about today.
I'm sorry. One last one. Casey Kasem's Shaggy.
Oh, like Zoinks, man. I love my dog and all, but he's huge and hard to carry around.
All right. Well,
we got
a live one today, people. We got a live one today. So does everybody have their copy of this week's Across the Garden?
Yes.
As we know, I got it. Ricky and Mocha are still trying to get to the damn mall. It has been forever now. It's getting a little ridiculous how long it's taking these poor people to get to the mall. We, of course, have come up with these characters on the fly. We have often said we wish we had come up with different ones, but we came up with what we got. And so we are once again with Ricky and Mocha in the woods, still trying to get to the damn mall. I think we did one last week where they actually got to the mall, but didn't actually step into the mall. So we're still not inside yet.
We are inching closer.
We can smell the food court, but we're not in the door yet. So here we go. Everybody ready? Everybody know who they're playing and we're ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. We are going to fade in. Exterior woods continuous. Ricky and Mocha are still trudging through the garden.
Then she uploaded this totally fire video doing this new TikTok dance, and she hit 17 million followers on Insta in the same day. Definitely my heroist hero. Wait, what was the question again?
Are we there yet?
Oh, well, do you see them all?
You know, Mom says never answer a question with a question.
She also says you're not really her son, so...
Wait, she does? Mocha... I don't think I can do this anymore. We just keep walking in circles.
What? How can you say that when... Oh, man. I don't think I can do this anymore either. Should we just turn back?
That's when we hear her.
Looks like they're turning back. It's true what they say.
Losers for life.
Ricky and Mocha round a corner and come upon a tiny little radio station. Two squirrels sit behind a desk wearing headphones. They gesture to two empty seats in front of them. As Ricky and Mocha sit, one of the squirrels, the Stain, pops over and adjusts microphones in front of their faces.
Y'all, we are now joined by...
Both squirrels just stare as Ricky and Mocha, for a long silent beat, the silence drags on. Crinkle covers the mic.
We got dead air here, people.
What are your names?
Oh, I'm Mocha.
Oh, like the coffee?
I'd like to sip me some of that.
Hey.
What's your name, sport?
I'm Ricky.
If you're just tuning in, we got Mocha and Ricky here with us on Morning Crick Cakes. I'm Crinkle, and as always, I'm joined by the madman, the legend himself, the Stain.
Stain my shorts!
They hit a button. Crinkle and the Stain. Yeah, you do it on dress. You're better at it than I am. Go ahead.
Crinkle and the Stain. They crazy. On 107.4, The Wood.
Stain hits another button.
We got wood.
Ew, ew, ew.
Well, I'm officially done.
You're officially lame.
They hit another button.
So lame.
Do you, like, have buttons for everything?
Another button.
He does!
So, what brings you to our neck of the garden?
I seriously can't tell the story again.
Looks like we've got a prima donna on her hands here, Crinkle.
I'll say.
Hits another button.
He'll say!
If you touch one more button, I'm going to open up a can of...
Boop! There's a beep that covers Mocha swearing.
Hey, easy. This is a family-friendly show.
Yeah, we're just trying to get to know our fellow gardeners. Now, come on. Where are you headed?
Oh, you might as well just tell them.
Fine. We're trying to get to the mall to find my boyfriend.
Ooh.
Stain hits another button.
Going to the mall. See her boyfriend.
Without warning, Mocha launches herself over the table and at two hosts.
Oh. No, not the face.
Not that body part.
As Beat passes before Mocha casually re-enters frame.
Come on. We're going home.
Wait.
Ricky and Mocha turn to find a battered crinkle pointing into the distance. They follow the gaze. As the sun breaks through the trees, we can see the mall. On Ricky and Mocha's delighted faces, we fade out. Yes!
That was fun!
Nailed it! Andres killed it!
Yes! You're awesome!
So talented.
Voices adding in. We were just talking about ad-libbing and adding in stuff. Just crushed it.
I mean,
all day. Are you
very proud?
Are you going to be joining our contest?
Sure. What I'd love to do is one day be a guest on your show in Lauren's role and actually talk about work that I will finally one day do. I never did voice acting before, but
yes,
always wanted to.
Oh, that's going
to
happen.
Oh, well, my gosh, you're so talented.
You could come on and you could definitely, you've got to enter the Super Awesome Contest to become the next big voice actor, because that
Super Awesome Contest to become the next big voice actor.
A chance of a lifetime for you, because you win an agent for a year and you win a whole bunch of stuff. You come on and do some voices for iHeart. And
I want to call it your big break, but Will does not, because it's not your big break, right? There is a difference.
It's what we're doing. We always say we're cracking open the door, and then you got to have your talent kick the door open. But that first crack is usually the hardest one to do. So we're giving you the opportunity for your big break, which is what we're
doing. I was gonna say, maybe. Okay. Yeah.
Oh God, thank you so much. I might cry. I'm a little emotional.
This is
now, but
so
seriously,
cool.
You guys.
So where can people find you?
Yeah.
I have an Insta with no posts. I'd use it to follow artists because I do art and paint miniatures. Will,
are you a mini painter too? Yes.
I'm a forever DM. The reason I have a million voices is because I have to come up with them on the fly. So my Insta.
So I hope you roll really poorly as the DM. Thank you very much. I wish I was there. I'd put my hands on you, because I have touched Will Wheaton several times.
Oh.
I give you the Wheaton curse, my friend.
Well, my Insta with zero posts right now is Rook, like the chess piece, 24601, like Jean Valjean's prisoner.
Oh my
number.
Gosh.
So Rook 24601.
That's
me.
Totally cool. Jean Valjean, you're a DM and you're throwing out mini paintings. You're wearing a Batman shirt and you have a Jean Valjean reference. We'd be besties.
I think you are. Yeah.
Don't give me hope, Will. Seriously, I would love that.
Totally be besties. That's so cool. Well, come and win the contest. And you get to, one of the things you get to do is we fly you out to LA and you come have lunch with Christy and I.
Holy
and we hang out.
Cow.
So
okay, amazing. I guess let's win the contest. That's
there's gonna be an episode coming up where all we're gonna be doing is discussing the contest, all the rules, everything involved. It's gonna be totally cool. We've got some really, really, really cool prizes we're not allowed to talk about yet. you just wait, my friend. It's gonna be awesome. But thank you so much for joining us. You killed it.
You did. I hope it was fun. Did you have fun?
Yes, thank you. It's great to play with professionals. I'm used to playing with we're all amateurs out in the improv space. So to actually get to do work with professionals, even if it's just for fun, is an extreme blessing and a treat. So thank you all so much. This is awesome.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And don't forget, an amateur is just a professional who hasn't got their break yet. That's all that is. That's the only difference, is somebody they've just heard no 1,000 times and we were lucky enough to hear yes once. That's all, the only difference. So just keep plugging along and please join the contest, because you're very, very talented and you never know what could happen, my friend.
Oh, thanks so much. That's right. Okay.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks, Andres.
Great to meet you all. Thank you all.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. That was cool.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun.
He's darn
good. You guys,
good.
He was great. I just, I'm just going to do that actor thing for a second. Is it okay that I was so big? I mean, it said she was a squirrel.
Of course, so it's genius.
It's so good. Because if we end up editing this, which is our goal, is to edit this together with some animation from, independent animators. And we want it big. Yeah, it's going to help fill in the gaps for me and my
for
character.
Our awfulness. For
awful
Christy
characters.
And I being terrible. So
oh,
that's
God.
What I like to bring
no,
on.
No, no, no. I was talking about tone. And then I thought, oh my gosh, they're in a different cartoon than me.
Nope.
What's wrong with me?
You're it's like, perfect. Just... This is what
okay.
we love. We love because
okay.
they keep finding
It's like drawn together.
Yes.
It's like drawn together. Yeah.
That was so fun, you guys. Thank you for having me. Thank
now,
you
Lauren,
very much.
Yeah. What, can we very quickly for our listener? That's how I like to say it. For our one listener out there.
that's not true.
Where can people find you, and what are you doing now?
Oh,
if you're allowed
how
to talk
sweet.
About it.
That's so nice. So if Twitter keeps going, I'm actually the same address on both Instagram and Twitter. So it's LaurenTom9000.
Okay.
And that would be great. I would love to, you know, connect with people and just like let me know what shows you like. And yeah, I'm just, you know, like, I keep on keeping on with my different series. And I have, let's see, what is Dragons and Nine Realms and Disenchantment, and of course Futurama, and one that's coming that I'm not allowed to say yet, but people are going to be super excited about. And yeah, so I feel very blessed. And
That's it, just those four series, that's all you got?
I mean, Lauren,
my goodness. And I have a movie coming out called One True Loves. It's written by Taylor Jenkins Reid, who wrote Daisy and the Six. Anyway, she's a novelist. And the beautiful thing about this movie is that it's set in New England, and it was written about all these white people. But it turns out that they ended up casting it all Asian.
Oh,
and
that's
we don't
awesome.
They don't even say, like, they don't even mention that we're Asian. We're just these people living in New England. It's kind of neat that way.
Did you shoot
it's
in New England?
No, we actually shot in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And it was substituting. And, you know, Shang-Chi, that got that movie, Simu Liu, he's the lead. And then Philippa Sue, who was in Hamilton.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And she plays my daughter. And so anyway,
she played his wife in Hamilton. She played Hamilton's
correct.
Wife.
Yeah, Eliza. Yeah. Eliza.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And when is that coming out?
I don't know yet. I have to actually find out. We shot it last year, so it should be coming out soon.
And
I
is
would
it
think.
A streaming service, or is it going to be in the theaters?
I think it's going to be in the theaters. It was a feature film.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on those small projects, the film, the 93 different series. Oh, Lauren, thank you for joining us. This is amazing.
Thank you guys for having me, and have a wonderful stay safe and healthy and all that.
You
I feel like everyone's
well.
Mom all the time.
I get that.
You
can be
you
my
soon.
Mom, Lauren.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Oh, man, she's done. I forget that she is my first TV girlfriend. My first TV animated girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. You're crushing.
Well, I mean, anybody who is a Batman Beyond fan knows that Dana was hugely important in Terry's life. Mm-hmm. So to be able to say that it was like my first animated girlfriend's Lauren Tom, I mean, that's awesome.
Well, you remember when she played Yoshiko, your character also had a crush on her.
Yeah, there was.
Do you know if they did that on purpose?
I don't know. But there's two people, Lauren Tom and Cree Summer, where we're always boyfriend and girlfriend in everything that we do.
Oh, I think, have we spoken to Cree yet on the show?
No, we're going to, we'll have Cree on. We'll have to have Cree on.
Yeah, we have to, because I swear to God, her name has been mentioned so many times on this podcast that I assumed that she was a guest, but she's another, another legend. Yeah.
She's
we're
brilliant.
So blessed.
Like
our
Lauren.
Guests have been so great. Our guests have been, and like, we do have really, you know, we have our wish list of people. And so far I feel like so many of our wishes have been granted with who we've had on.
Not only that, but it's also people that we figured we couldn't get. So we didn't even put them on the wish list.
Uh-huh.
Then we end up interviewing where it's like, man, this is amazing. So it's totally cool. And we're going to keep going. And thank you everybody for joining us again for another good episode. Well, I hope I'm another great guest. Who knows if the episode's any good? They probably hate us, but the guest was awesome.
You guys, send us some love. Go ahead and write us up. I feel like a lot of people do read reviews when they're trying to learn if they want to listen to our show or not. Give us a good review. Shout us out. Share us to your friends and family and people that you know who love animation and are passionate about just the industry at large. We love you guys so much, and thanks for listening.
That's very true. Also, Christy is on all the social stuff and has the 10 trillion followers. I may be starting that on Instagram soon because I like putting up pictures of my dog. But other than that, The contest is coming. I know we keep teasing it, but it's really coming now. It is.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
It's the super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor. We're taking this whole thing to the next level. We hope you're going to hear about this all over the place because we are going to get some pretty incredible people involved. So until then, if you think you got what it takes to be one of us, step up and put your voices where your mouth is. Thanks, everybody.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano. Executive produced by Will Friedle, Brendan Rooney, Amy Sugarman, and Vicky Ernst Chang. Our executive in charge of production is Danielle Romo. Our producer is Lorraine Virouez, and our editor slash engineer is Brian Burton. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Coco Melon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AAM, and Napster.
Okay, well, let's teach you about the internet.
The who?
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.